Welcome to Hub City Vineyard. To get connected or to give online, you can go to connect.hcv.church or give.hcv.church. If at any time during this message you feel called to make a change in your life, text CHANGE ME to 97000. Thank you and enjoy the message.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Sorry, I'm a little thrown off. I'm used to like 22-minute announcements, and you know, Lance is so fast, he just blows through them, so I'll get it going here. We're so glad you're here. If you're joining us from home, thank you for welcoming us into your space. You made it! You don't have a post-Easter hangover. Give yourselves a hand! Yeah! And if you're back from Easter, we're so glad you're back for the second time, and I am super excited about the month of April. Many of you know that our theme for 2024 here at HCV is the year that we are going to go deeper. In January, I shared with our community of faith that God was calling HCV into a more intimate connection with Him, and our scripture focus for this entire year is Luke 2:52, and it reads this: Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and all the people. And so as a community of faith, we're going to focus on those four areas that Jesus grew in Luke chapter 2 throughout this entire year. And this month, we will be focusing on mental health. And I do not at all find it a coincidence that this headline was in my news feed yesterday morning. A 28-year-old Dutch woman is slated to be euthanized next month because of her struggles with mental illness after her psychiatrist said her condition will never improve. Zoroya Terbeek lives in a nice house in a small Dutch town near the German border with her boyfriend and two cats. And despite being physically healthy, she plans to end her life due to her depression and borderline personality disorder, according to the Free Press. She once had ambitions to become a psychiatrist, but she was never able to finish school or start a career due to her own mental illness. But now, she is simply tired of living and wishes to end her life. Friends, can I simply say that there is a mental health crisis in our world today? Currently, in the United States alone, 20.78% of the people, that's one out of every five adults, are experiencing some form of mental illness. That's the equivalent to over 50 million Americans. Half of those adults with mental illness never receive any type of treatment, totaling over 28 million people. The vast majority of individuals with substance abuse addictions or problems in the United States are receiving no treatment whatsoever. And 15.35% of adults with a substance abuse problem, of them, 93.5% did it on their own. And they're coping with their addictive behavior. Now let's go to the young adults. Barna's largest ever research study shows that half of the young adults 18 to 35 years old, that's 49%, expressed anxiety over important decisions and were afraid to fail. Three out of every 10 of them said they often felt sad or depressed, lonely, or isolated from others. And let's go to our teenagers. Currently, one out of every 10 youth in the United States are experiencing depression that is severely impairing their ability to function at school or work, at home with family, or in social life. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Chris, that's the world, that's our culture. We're gathered here in a church. The church numbers are not very different. Currently, one in five church leaders ranks their mental and emotional health as below average, according to Lifeway Research. 23% of pastors acknowledge they have personally struggled with a mental illness, while 49% of pastors say they rarely or never speak to their congregation about mental illness. Friends, that's over half of the churches in the United States of America that share nothing about mental health throughout the year. Today, at HCV, that all changes. And I believe that God is going to move through our community of faith and people outside of our community of faith to bring freedom and change this month. And let's open in prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to overwhelm us with his love. Holy Spirit, come. God, we're just so thankful for those gathered, those watching online. God, just move amongst us. We invite your presence here, your spirit here, God. May your freedom, may your healing come. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, right here in this place, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And I believe there's a lot of you gathered or even watching online that can relate to those statistics where outwardly you're still showing up, right? You're smiling, you're doing your job, you're there for your family, but inwardly you're battling real depression. Or there's this ongoing chronic anxiety, or you just feel stressed and you feel overwhelmed. You can't seem to handle it. And if you're anything like me, it seems like you could just snap. And if you find yourself struggling mentally, you're not alone. One out of every five. And over the next several weeks in April, we're going to be discussing different topics, focusing on our mental health in a series that we've called Stretched Thin. And this morning, I want to build a simple foundation for this series and look at the myths of mental health. Because unfortunately, within the church, there are people that believe that mental health should not be an issue for a person that's in a relationship with Jesus. One blog post from Geneva College, a Christian university, writes this: "The prevailing culture of silence, along with misguided attitudes and erroneous expectations, often causes suffering believers to feel shamed, blamed, and very unsupported." And I want to change that narrative. I want to be a place where people can be real and honest, where we speak words of life and we see change, which leads us to our first truth this morning. Friends, God is peace. God is peace. We read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen for he who calls you faithful." Now notice the words, "the God of peace." May the God of peace sanctify you. May the God of peace cleanse you, change you through and through. Notice the words, "may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until Jesus comes again." May the God of peace bring freedom and healing. Right, all truths that we read, that we receive, that we embrace in that one scripture and many more throughout the Bible. But for years, people said that the church shouldn't talk about mental health. Of course, it's somebody else's problem, but it's not something we're going to talk about in the church. Sometimes the implications would be that you shouldn't struggle mentally, because if you're someone that comes to Jesus, then Jesus fixes everything inside of you, right? And they quote scriptures. Well, he's going to work in all things. He's going to bring about good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And all those things are true. I believe in them. He saves you. He forgives you. He redeems you. He fills you with his power. He will never leave you. Everything does work together for good. All that's true, but it's incomplete. It's incomplete. Just because Jesus saves you doesn't mean he fixes every area of your life instantly, right? Just because your sins are forgiven. I've never heard anyone say, "Hey, Chris, I was reading the Bible last night. I called on Jesus. He saved me. And all of a sudden, I got abs. My hair got thicker. My thighs got thinner. I lost all this weight." You know, I've never heard that before. No one has never shared that testimony before. No one ever has come up to me and said, "Hey, Chris, I came to the altar. I was crying. I gave my life to Jesus. And my credit score improved. I got home and I had no debt. I was debt free. Hashtag blessed. Have you ever heard that? Like, I've never heard that before. In other words, just because you come to Jesus, it doesn't mean that your boss is now nice or that your bank account is just instantly going up. Or when you came to Jesus, it doesn't mean that you instantly became mentally healthy. For example, you shouldn't be stressed because God is the God of peace. And if you're in a relationship with him, you should always be peaceful. And I know for a fact, if I was to say, raise your hand if you're always peaceful, you're lying if you raise that hand. And see, when we talk about mental health, what exactly are we talking about? So I want to try to kind of unpack this for you over the month. Because first of all, I want to acknowledge, look, I'm a pastor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a Christian therapist. I'm not a doctor. Therefore, I'm not an expert. But I've been doing a lot of research. I've consulted with several books and helping to present a biblical narrative to you that I feel is going to be helpful and life-changing. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not an expert at all. So I'm going to focus primarily throughout this series on the spiritual aspects of mental health. But I also want to acknowledge that mental health actually is. So what is it? What is mental health? Mental health would include three things: your emotional, your psychological, and your social well-being. And it's very, very important because our mental health is not actually static, okay? Our mental health typically looks a lot like a roller coaster, meaning you can be really healthy for a little while and then something happens, right? Something changes in your body. You experience a trauma. And suddenly one day you may be really healthy and then at a moment you find yourself in a very bad place. And your mental health, we have to realize, impacts how you think, which then impacts how you feel, which then impacts how you act. See, your mental health determines how you handle the stress around you, how you relate to people, how you make choices, or how you bounce back from a difficult situation, or how you don't bounce back. Your mental health determines how you cope. Right? If you go to the wrong sources or the wrong things for comfort, or if you make the right choices and become healthy, it might determine even how you choose your friends or the quality or not so quality of your marriage. There are so many misunderstandings when it comes to mental health, and we're going to build a foundation today, and then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to keep piling on top of it so that at the end of the month, we're at a point where we feel we're strong mentally, which leads us this morning to most importantly discuss two myths about mental health, specifically in the church today. And the first is, followers of Jesus shouldn't struggle with mental health. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, because you're filled with the Spirit, because you've been saved, you shouldn't battle with anxiety. And you really shouldn't be depressed, or you shouldn't be burned out. And if you do struggle with one of these, then it's your fault. In other words, you don't have enough faith, or you're not praying enough, or if you are praying enough, you're not praying the right prayers. Or there's some kind of sin in your life that you need to confess and get out of your life. And if you get that sin out of your life, then you're not going to be anxious. You're not going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to be burned out, or you're not going to struggle. And what I want to do is I want to show you that you can still love Jesus and still fight depression. You can read the Bible every single day. In fact, you can have the longest Bible streak in the YouVersion app. If you don't know what that is, the daily refresh. My wife and I get in this competition where we're reading the Bible every day. And she made it all the way to 72 straight days. And I was like, man, I'm never going to get there. And then Easter Sunday came and she missed her day. Now she's back to zero and I'm at 23. Woo! So I'm in the lead. But you can do all those things and guess what? Still battle with anxiety. You can have perfect attendance at HCV this year, sit in the front row, worship with your hands up, tithe, serve in the kids' wing, and still struggle to overcome a trauma. And when you look throughout the Bible, some of the people that I teach about, that I share about, you know, the heroes of the faith, the fathers and the mothers of the faith, with all their faith, they still struggled with mental health. There was this guy named Elijah. I mean, he was the guy. He was him. He was a rock. Seriously, he stood up to 800 false prophets of Baal, calls down the fires of heaven one day, and then shortly after, he's alone, depressed, and wants to die. Look at 1 Kings 19. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there, a mistake. Because why? He went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sits down under a solitary broom tree and prays that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died." David, a man after God's own heart, stares down the giant, defeats him. "Who are you to come against the armies of the living God?" Constantly is battling with despair and anxiety, wondering if God walked away from him. Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Jeremiah the prophet constantly was battling loneliness, insecurity. He cursed his own birthday. Look at Jeremiah 20, 14 to 15. "Yet I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father, 'Good news, you have a son.'" So if you find yourself like so many people today, you're struggling in your mental health and you don't know what to do, the message or answer sometimes in the church is, "Hey friend, you just need more God. Just, you need more of God. Go after God. Just you need more." And I came to tell you this morning, yes, you do need more of God. And maybe you just need a little more sleep, right? Is that so unspiritual? Maybe you're just tired and you need a few extra hours of rest. You know, God designed us to be connected. So you might need some better friends. For example, if you're not in a growth group, right? You are missing out on connection. And there's so many people, they come to our community and say, "Oh, you're such a big church," and you feel alone and disconnected and you don't have anybody standing with you or praying with you. How in the world do you think you're going to stand strong against the forces of darkness and temptation when you don't have friends beside you praying for you? You need to be connected. You know, if you're new to our community of faith, Land shared, "I'm doing Start With Why today. Learn about our church, how to get involved, where we came from, where we are going. Meet with me after this gathering. It'll take you 25 minutes, okay? And then I'll release you to go get some lunch." But the point is, you become connected. And over these next 4 weeks, we're going to take a holistic approach. And I'm not talking about holistic medicine. I'm talking about our whole body is connected, right? You may be struggling mentally because you need a better diet, right? You may be having emotional problems and you need to go see a doctor because you're having some hormonal changes, right? Some of you may need some deep therapy or counseling. You may need one-on-one prayer ministry. Whatever the case may be, we want to be a place where healing happens. If you're struggling with things and thinking thoughts like, "Well, I don't know if I can make it. I feel anxious. I feel depressed. I don't know why. I'm praying. I'm trying. Chris, I'm going to church. I'm seeking God, but I'm not getting any better. I can't shake it." Look, if you're struggling, it doesn't mean you're not a good person or you're not in a relationship with Jesus. You know what it means? You're human. Jesus told us that we're going to have trouble in this world. And we live in a world that's broken and full of sin. And there's this myth in the church that as followers of Jesus, you shouldn't struggle with mental health. And it's an absolute lie, which leads us to our next myth. God doesn't care about mental health. God is too busy. He's got bigger problems. Have you seen what's going on in the world today, Chris? You think God has time to deal with me trying to navigate my in-laws or my current workplace drama? He doesn't have time for that. But when you look in the Bible, when you look through the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, friends, you're gonna see just how much God cares about every area of your life. You know, I love reading through the Psalms because the words are so real, right? They're so raw. And I just want to share a few of them with you. Look at Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I fear? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 11. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I'm here to say that God cares about you. He loves you. And he wants the best for you. You read through the Psalms and you see how much God cares about you and about everyone that are writing those words. But yet you also see people breaking down mentally, right? There's a lot of Psalms that you want printed on your coffee mug, that as you're pouring your cup and you're reading it in the morning, you can quote that verse. But I want to share with you one you don't want to read every morning. One that shouldn't be printed on a coffee mug. And it's Psalm 88, and it was written by a guy named Haman. Now, for those of you that are my age or a little older, when I was a kid, there was a cartoon character named He-Man. Right? Anybody know about He-Man and She-Ra? I mean, they were just jacked, and they just took down the forces of darkness. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail. The only reason I mentioned that is because He-Man is spelled just like Haman, they're just pronounced differently. But in the Bible, Haman is that guy you wanted in your life, right? He was well respected. He was the one that everybody looked up to. I just want to show you some of the qualities that were represented in this man's life. In 1 Kings 4:31, we learn that Haman had great wisdom. He was very, very wise in the decisions he made. In 1 Chronicles 6:33, we read that he was a talented musician. He was a worship leader and had incredible musical ability. In 1 Chronicles 25:5-6, we learn he had a lot of kids. And not only did he have a lot of kids, but he was committed to parenting them and raising them right. He was very, very faithful in his service to the king. This was a man of God. He would have been a leader in our church. This would have been a guy that you search out or seek for advice. This is the guy that you want as your father-in-law or your dad. He was a man of God. And now I want to show you what he writes or says in Psalm 88. And it's a spoiler alert. This is one of only two psalms in all the psalms that don't have a positive ending. See, a lot of times when you read the songs, people are crying out, they're complaining, and then they turn and they say, but God is faithful. But this man of God, he's brutally honest. And I believe that God desires the same for you and me, which leads us to our next truth before I read Psalm 88. God desires honesty from his followers. God desires that we talk to him, that we share with him, that we cry out to him. And listen to Haman's words, Psalm 88. For my life is full of troubles, and death draws near. I am as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have left me among the dead, and I lie like a corpse in a grave. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. And then we're going to see something that he actually gets right. And this is the very same thing that you are getting right today. Because if you're here and you're struggling with darkness, some sort of medical struggle or mental issues, or you're watching online, right, Haman continues to turn to God. And if you're here today and you're struggling mentally, continue to turn to God. Continue to search for him, because you've shown up for church, right? And you're being a part of his spirit moving amongst us. So he goes on to say that he's buried in the middle of darkness. And then he writes these words. Oh Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. Notice he's committed. Oh Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? And then the last verse we read in Psalm 88 can sound so defeating. You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. Darkness is my closest friend. I mean, this guy loved God. He was a man of God. And here we're reading in the Bible, in the Psalms, we read these words with no positive ending. And it literally shows me that God is not afraid of our honesty. God wants us to cry out to him. He cares that you may love him and desire to be connected with him. And he wants you to question him. Because as we release these struggles, as we release our problems, that's when he can come in and bring about change. Because when we're hurting, he cares. And Haman wrote, darkness is my closest friend. And if I'm going to be real honest with you as your pastor, you know, I have weeks that I feel that way. I have weeks where I feel like darkness is surrounding me, but I still show up every Sunday and share. Every Tuesday, I lead staff meetings, and throughout the week, I'm encouraging you, my community of faith, to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But there are Mondays that I feel like resigning, that I feel like, man, I can't do this anymore. It's so overwhelming. For example, last week, after a busy Easter weekend of serving and sharing and praying, I was exhausted, just simply exhausted. And in my exhaustion, in my mental fatigue of trying to figure out, how do I create more parking spaces? How do I reach more people? How do I serve the brokenhearted and the defeated? How do I add more gatherings? How do I start satellites? How do I do this, do that? There were a few days where I said to myself, I can't do this. I'm not enough. I need help, God. Give me wisdom. Give me the steps to move forward. So I know if I feel that way, that there's many of you that feel the same way. Life can be overwhelming. But it's time we get real and honest with God, which leads us to our action steps. And listen, I believe and felt that God gave me these three simple steps to encourage you if you're struggling in your mental health today. Because I know my wife shared with me last week, it's no surprise you're feeling that way, Chris, considering what we're discussing over the next month. Which leads us to our first step. Listen, you gotta seek help. You've got to seek help if you're struggling in some mental capacity. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And many of us know this is the first and greatest commandment. So ask yourself this morning as you're sitting in your chair, are you loving God with all your heart? Are you loving God with all your soul? Are you loving God with all your mind? And you know, as I was reading that this week, I found it interesting. And I began to even ask God, how do I love you, God, with all my mind? Because here's the truth about our minds. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life is headed in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And see, our brains, they're actually built over time, and it starts at birth, and then it starts to evolve. And what happens in the brain, it makes all these connections. You know, for those of you that know Jimmy Neutron, think Jimmy Neutron. You know, this big, just all these connections. Simple connections that are called neural pathways. And for the first few years of your life, up to about age 4, how many neural pathways is your brain making? Well, up to age 4, from the start of birth, you have about 1 million or so connections every single second. Every second! Until you're 4 or through your 4-year-old birthday, your brain is making connections every second, 1 million times every second. And when I read that and learned that this week, I said, oh my gosh, now I know why Phoenix is the way he is. Right? He never slows down. It's always to this thing and that thing. I need a truck. I need a car. I need a motorcycle. I need to play ball. I need to sleep. No, I don't want to sleep. I need to watch a show. Right? It's just all these connections and he's flying everywhere. Whoa. I also learned, and I want to give you some news. Don't have a 4-year-old when you're 51. It's exhausting. Whew. So you know Phoenix, he's flying around, million connections every second. Then after a while, your brain starts to learn. And the connections are simplified through a process called pruning. And what happens is your brain gets more efficient and it starts to think in patterns. In other words, once you think a thought, it's easier to think that thought again. It's like a mental rut or a pathway that's easier to continue with those thoughts. And that's good news if your thoughts are healthy. But it's really bad news if your thoughts aren't. So if your body is not healthy, what do? You go to a doctor, right? You might change your diet. You might start to exercise. You might get treatment on that area of your body that's unhealthy. So if your mind is unhealthy, what should you do? You might go see a doctor. You might schedule a time with a therapist. You might go to the great physician who helps to renew your mind. And if you're anything like me, my mind never shuts down, right? I'm always thinking, I'm always reading, I'm trying to understand something. There's nights where I'm up all night because my brain just won't shut down, right? I had ADD or ADHD, whatever it is, before it was even known to be ADD, right? Back when I was a kid in school, it was just, he's the special child. Special. Put him out in the hallway. He's special. Now you know who's pastoring you, so if you want to leave now, I understand. But see, my mind, what happens with my mind gets stuck in this rut of church, 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 church. And some of you are like, well, Chris, that sounds spiritual. What's wrong with that? Please realize that's church. That's not God. And there's a difference. It's church. So my mind is constantly thinking work, 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 work. And we have to disconnect our mind and then connect it to God. And that's why it's so important that we recognize where we are and we seek help. And then our next step, then we focus on Jesus. We disconnect from work, 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 right? Or whatever it may be that's bringing you down. And then you focus on Jesus. I love Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You'll be in perfect peace. Notice what it says. It's not occasional peace. It's not when everything's going to be the way you want it to be, right? It's not momentary peace when you feel good about that moment or circumstantial peace. What is it? It's perfect peace. And what is perfect peace? Well, in the Hebrew language, perfect peace is actually a translation from shalom. And two times shalom is written in the original text. Shalom, of course, means peace. But the author doesn't say shalom one time, keep in peace. He says shalom, shalom, perfect peace. And any time you see a word repeated in Hebrew, it means it's incredible emphasis. So the author is telling us, you will experience shalom, shalom. You'll experience perfect peace when? When your thoughts are fixed on CNN News. Sorry, wrong party. On Fox News. You will be perfect peace when you're just scrolling through your phone every day. You'll have perfect peace when you're focused on your work or you're giving your money to the right stock. No, they're all wrong. You'll keep in perfect peace when your thoughts are on who? Jesus. And the Hebrew word translated as fixed, keep your thoughts fixed, right, is the word shamak. And this word actually means to prop. It means when you rest the full weight of an object on it. So when you rest the full weight of your thoughts, right, and everything happening in your mind, when you rest it onto God, then suddenly you'll experience perfect peace. But if you're like so many people right now, you're not doing great. There's tension, there's heaviness. You know, people are worried about all kinds of stuff. You know, there's Russia, there's China, there's the election, there's parties, there's finger pointing, right? You don't like your job. You don't really like the people around you. I wasn't talking about here. Jeez. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Thank you. Now look at the neighbor you ignored and really don't like and say, I love you too. Woo. See, we just fixed those problems right away. If we don't fix our thoughts on what is helpful, if we don't fix our thoughts on God and on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit, then you know what happens? We start to create these neural pathways that are unhealthy. But if we fix our thoughts on God, on Jesus, and we learn about who he was and what he did and how much he loves us, then those same positive neural pathways are being created for us to change. Scripture says that we renew our mind. Do not be conformed to what everybody else is doing. Who cares what everybody else does? Right? Don't get caught up in the craziness or the toxicity or the hatefulness, the bitterness or the negativity. Just walk away. Just separate yourself. I mean, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Right? So I disconnect my mind from the negativity and I focus on Jesus. And then he begins to supernaturally change my outlook, my thoughts, and the patterns that are in my brain so that I'm focusing on the positive, which leads us to our final step. Right? We seek help, we focus on Jesus, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's God's power. It's his divine power. It's not me. Because I know in my own strength, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to resign. It's his power. It's not my power. It's his power, and he has given us everything, not just part of it, but everything we need for a godly life, Jesus has given us. And then Jesus writes this in John chapter 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus shared with us those words in John chapter 14. And that is the night before his suffering began. The night before he faced the worst physical agony possible, right? He shows us the perhaps real peace, perfect peace, right? Isn't found in the absence of problems. Real peace is found in the presence of God. Remember, it's shalom, shalom. It's peace even when there's bad news. It's peace when you lose your job. It's peace when your marriage is struggling. It's peace when your kids are making unwise decisions. It's peace when others are hurting you. It's peace when money is tight. It's shalom, shalom. It is peace from God. And we just learned the world can't give it. And the world can't what? Take it away. And see, friends, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. Or a sound mind. And may the God of peace sanctify you through and through He cares for you. He loves you. He's faithful. And He is here this morning. Oh.